yeah. Great big good morning to all our Arizona listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Rosie on the House. As always, in the 8 o'clock hour, we're here with our good friend John J. Harper. We'll be out in the garden to take your questions about anything having to do with landscaping, irrigation, trimming, fertilizing, whatever it is. Give us a ring at your house to our house and let us know what you're trying to get done. The number is a toll-free number. It's 1-888-767-4348. Get yourself that hot cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee poured up, because Rosie on the House in Arizona runs on Dunkin'. Hey, did you know you can get a great chicken sandwich at Dunkin' now? I have more than donuts. Now I just wish they'd bring back them Terry Bradshaw buttermilk biscuits they used to have. That's what I miss those like nothing else, I'll tell you what. So we had to come up with our own buttermilk biscuit recipe, and boy, we got one out of an Amish kitchen cookbook, and that's our Sunday morning, every morning breakfast before church.
Good stuff.
Buttermilk biscuits. All right, so we're here in the garden. We're going to be talking in the later bit in the show about solar energy part two. We talked about it last week. We're going to be talking about it again this week. That's on the big topic of sustainable living and energy. And on that topic, let's bring that topic right into the garden and hear what John Jay has for us to get the show started this morning.
Well, pretty good timing, since, you know, we always consider August the kind of the start of fall garden preparation, at least, and some of the fall garden planting that starts this month and really in earnest in September. And sustainability, you know, if you can grow some of your own food, if for no other reason, there's another food scare in the news today.
Yes,
you can, you know, at least if you get sick from germs, it's your own germs that you're getting sick from if you grow your own food. So, you know, and there's, you know, there's a lot of other reasons to obviously grow food. We had a young couple in the nursery the other day planting a garden, and the husband was kind of cringing at, you know, it was three figures. It was $100 and some by the time they bought the compost and the fertilizer and the gypsum and the packs of seeds and everything else.
And he probably spent like $800 on a smartphone and didn't take twice of it. That's a different story.
That's a whole nother deal. But the wife chimed right in and says, you know what? It's worth it, because our kids see where the food is coming from, because they grow it themselves. They eat things that I know they wouldn't otherwise. And other little kids, we were talking about little kids and picky eaters. You know, there is something to it. If they've grown it and they've had fun growing it and they go out and see it, and, you know, they are probably more apt to eat it and enjoy it. So exercise, fresh air, you know, health concerns, a lot of good reasons to grow your own garden, and, you know, sustainability fits right into that.
So. Well, I especially appreciated your post yesterday, because we have a bumper okra crop this year, and it's the first okra crop we've gotten. And, I mean, we plant it every year for about the last 3 years, and we just haven't done very well. But we have a couple plants that are really putting out. Is that a fruit? Is that a vegetable? What is that?
It's a seed pod.
Okay.
So, you know, I guess technically that would be a fruit.
Well, I mean, I could eat it every day. I just dice it up and grill it in a pan, and I mean, that's it, baby. I'm good with it. But your Facebook post talked about five
uses for okra, and it wasn't all, you know, it was as a thickener, okra coffee.
I haven't tried that.
So
talked about eating the leaves instead of just the okra fruit itself.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
More than just the, you know, the rest of the plant is edible.
Wow.
Especially just if you're a goat.
Throw that in your salad?
as a green, cooked or raw, as a salad, sure.
Just using it as a
thickener, you know, which we know, you know, gumbo, obviously,
sure, yeah,
the
baby.
Name gumbo, that's, mm-hmm. The okra is what helps make that, the glutinous properties of okra make it a thickening agent. So.
And you know what I still haven't found out to this day is, how did okra and gumbo become married? Because okra grows at the time. The last thing you want to do is stand over a hot gumbo pot and make a roux for 2 hours.
How did
those come together?
They didn't have an option to not stand over the hot fire in 1700s.
You cooked when you cooked. You had to cook every day.
That's why the kitchen is always detached from the house and had all the open doors and windows. I got to get Uncle Jerry's hot pickled okra recipe. I could eat hot pickled okra
That sounds pretty good.
Three times a day, every day.
You get the recipe, we'll share it with everybody.
Okay, fantastic. And you are sharing recipes now.
We have a gal, Stephanie Peterson, who calls herself Chef Tess Bakeries. If you go on her Facebook, we once a month now, she is going to give a recipe based on, you know, what is in season. Yesterday was the first post of that. It was a pizza stuffed zucchini recipe.
Oh, okay.
Which looked really good, and we had a whole bunch of people click on that.
Right, I copied that one off. I think the grandkids even eat that one.
Sounds like a way to trick kids into eating squash.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to do that once a month. John Eisenhower at Integrity Tree is doing an article for us once a month. The Pond Gnome is doing an article once a
month.
So having, try and get some, you know, break up the monotony of just what I write.
Fantastic. That sounds sounds great.
Yeah.
And, boy, we have to take our hats off to a good friend that passed us last week.
Yeah, Mr. Black Eyed Pea, I called him. Wizard White. I think Wizard bought more packages of Black Eyed Pea seed than probably the whole city of Phoenix combined. I don't know if he grew anything else in his garden, but Black Eyed Peas. It'd be interesting to know. But good customer and obviously a legend at ASU Athletics.
Amen. Our prayers are out for the White family right now. But boy, I tell you what, a Black Eyed Peas, butter, and sautéed okra over a bed of grits.
You're making us hungry.
When Rosie's
you know,
having
it
a bad
is breakfast
day,
time,
just pull out the black eyed peas.
I'm happy there, baby.
Comfort food.
I'm happy. I mean, black eyed peas, it's butter and Tony's.
That's everything you eat, honey.
Tony's and butter.
Tony's and butter.
And butter.
I should probably buy stock in Tony's.
Oh, man. Hey, the number is 1-888-767-4348 right here in the garden with John J. Harper at Rosie on the House.
Andy, good morning. Welcome to the program. How may we help you?
I got a good friend lives out in Circle City, Arizona, and they like it out there. And I noticed they needed some fertilizer for their pear trees and plum trees. The next time I go out to Circle City, Arizona, I'd like to bring, what's a good fertilizer I can bring out there for pear trees and plum trees?
Well, a good citrus food would work fine for those. You know, something relatively high in nitrogen. And I like one that might have a little sulfur and iron in it as well. So, you know, something like Organo Brand or Fertilome, either one of those would work great. But a citrus-type fertilizer would be fine.
And a lot of them will say, like, fruit, nut, berry. I mean, it'll encompass.
You can find some of those, too, that include those. But if you can't, just good old
citrus
food will work just great.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Adam and Queen Creek. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I just moved into a home, and we have a little garden area, but my wife and I have never gardened, and we'd like to grow our own vegetables. We're not sure where to start.
Harper's nursery address is?
Well, the first thing you got to do, and this is a great time to start because you've got a little time, is start conditioning or preparing the soil. And the key component in soil preparation here is organic material, composts or mulches, those, you know, good old decomposed organic material. We do have a recipe on our website. If you go to harpersnursery.com and click on garden tips, and then just click on that and scroll down, you'll see a whole list of PDFs that are printable. And it says a soil preparation or garden preparation guide, and it's a very simple one. But compost and gypsum and some organic fertilizer, you know, tilled into the soil good and deep. And I usually tell people to take a couple of weekends and do it so that you do it slow and steady and right and get it to where it looks, the soil looks dark and rich and homogeneous and get all the clods and stuff out of it, water it good a couple times, and then along with that on our website and in the same place, you'll see a planting guide, which will give you the month-by-month calendar as to what you can plant.
Now, John Jay, if I were starting from scratch and I were going to get into gardening, I would highly encourage, and maybe it's just my old knees, I would highly, why even till it into the soil?
Well, that's
go to Belgard, get some retaining block, raise the planter up, put your water in there, it's a little bit more free from rabbits and predators and a little less easy for the dogs to get to. I have become the biggest fan in the world of raised planters. I just haven't built any yet. but my knees are begging me to.
and it is a lot easier to than working the soil once you get it built. Then, you know, you have an actual soil mix that you can just put in there and you don't have to till. And it's better soil growing medium than probably anything you could even after you till it into the soil for a long time. The only thing that limits you is probably space, yep, perhaps. Yep. But most people start too big anyway, and that's the other thing is
that's a good point.
Start small. Start with growing a couple of things and grow what we talked about, kids. Grow what you're pretty sure they're going to eat. Have some, and it's pretty easy to grow. Things like radishes are really easy. Lettuces, leafy things are generally pretty easy. So grow what you think you're going to have success and grow what you know they'll probably eat and start way smaller than you probably think you should. And, you know, if you're starting for the first time, then I think then you can build on that.
Here I was thinking I was the best radish grower in the world. And you just rained on my parade. We had a beautiful radish crop last year. We didn't do, like you said, you don't do anything with those. Stick them in the water or stick them in the soil and water. Now,
grow mild ones, though, because your kids' regular old radishes might be a little spicy for your kids.
And you have said before that containers will take more water.
Yes, generally.
And is just dry
anything,
out easier?
Anything above ground and anything that's got a soilless mix. So you're growing in a growing medium or a composted mix of soil that doesn't have earth in it. So it's by nature designed to drain and dry out quickly because you don't want those things staying too wet because stuff will rot or get overwatered. So, and then you just couple that with the fact that they are above ground, more exposed to the wind, and you know, you're getting heating on sides of the soil where you don't when it's in the ground. So that causes moisture to be, sucked out of the sides, for lack of a better word. So it just dries out quicker.
1-888-767-4348.